Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Welcome back. In Afghanistan, President Hamid Karzai is scrambling to find a new defense minister to help oversee the handoff of security to Afghan forces as the U.S. and NATO troops pull out over the next 2 years. His current minister had to resign after no confidence vote in parliament. And then in Afghanistan today, insurgents killed at least 9 civilians riding in a bus near Kabul. A truck bomb rammed into a NATO base, wounding several people. And 2 men wearing Afghan army uniforms killed an American soldier and wounded 2 others. Americans are dying in Afghanistan. Why aren't we hearing more about it? As our next guest writes, when it comes to this decade-old conflict, the candidates for president have adopted the same strategy on the stump: say as little as possible, sometimes not a word, and change the subject. Rajiv Chandrasekhan is senior correspondent for The Washington Post and author of Little America, The War Within the War for Afghanistan. He joins us from the Post studios in D.C. Rajiv, welcome back to Here and Now.
Pleasure to be on with you.
So the stats are really mind-boggling. The U.S. still has around 80,000 troops in Afghanistan, more than 2,000 Americans killed since 2001, the war costing more than $100 billion a year. Why aren't either President Obama or his presumed opponent, Mitt Romney, talking about it?
Well, Americans have war fatigue. We're in the throes of economic crisis at home. Voters care more about jobs. That said, Afghanistan's still a live shooting war. Every few days brings another 1 or 2 or 3 American fatalities and several wounded in action. This is a real live shooting war.
Right. Well, and both candidates referenced it. They kind of had to when they spoke last month to the veterans of foreign wars, the VFW. President Obama highlighting the 50,000 troop surge he implemented in 2009 and 2010, you know, against the advice of Vice President Biden, for instance. People felt it was a strong move. Let's listen to his comments then.
This is still a tough fight, but thanks to the incredible services and sacrifices of our troops, we pushed the Taliban back. We're training Afghan forces. We've begun to transition to Afghan lead.
But Rajiv, you point out, while he was applauded at the time, even, you know, by his opponents, for, you know, going with the surge, in hindsight, it's not looking as good?
Well, yes. The president has 2 problems here. One is that the case he's trying to make is a tough one to make, given the near daily reports of violence coming out from there, the challenges in building up a competent Afghan government and security forces. For the president, speaking about this at campaign events simply reminds his core Democratic base that he surged forces. Many of them didn't agree with that decision. And so what the president said at the Veterans of Foreign Wars is something he rarely says on the campaign trail.
Yeah, because as you said, it reminds supporters of the war that they're against, but it also might have people dig a little deeper into what happened post-surge. And again, just to underscore that, you write in your book, Little America, that a CIA assessment last year concluded that whatever the surge successes were, initially they were so offset by losses, the whole country is trending to stalemate, I think is the quote.
Yes, the surge did not have an aggregate impact. Certainly the specific places where additional forces went, security improved. Although even in those places, there's a legitimate question to be asked whether once American troops leave, the Afghans will be able to pick up the baton from the Americans and sustain what has been achieved. In many other parts of the country, there were no surge troops. And in a number of those areas, security has actually markedly deteriorated. What the CIA determined last year was that the surge had essentially been a wash.
Well, then there's Mitt Romney's line of attack against President Obama. Now, he references the fact that the president rejected the recommendation from the former top commander in Afghanistan, General Petraeus, to wait until the end of this year to bring home all the surge troops. President Obama has ordered them out of Afghanistan by the end of September. That's coming up pretty quick. And here's Mitt Romney's thoughts on that.
I've been critical of the president's decision to withdraw the surge troops during the fighting season. The president would have you believe that anyone who disagrees with his decision is arguing for endless war. But the route to more war and potentially to attacks here at home is a politically timed retreat.
So, Rajiv, what problems does Mitt Romney potentially face in saying he wants to keep American troops in Afghanistan longer than Barack Obama does?
Well, one simple problem, and that is public opinion polling among his Republican base. Latest polling shows that a narrow majority of Republicans now no longer believe this war is worth fighting. So for Romney to get out there at campaign events and say, we should keep on keeping on, and the president pulled the troops out too quickly, we need to stay there longer, that's not a message that would resonate with core Republicans, but also with independents, whom he needs to win over if he wants to move into the White House.
Right. You've been on the ground in Afghanistan. What are people in the military telling you they want to hear from either man?
They just want the political leaders of our country and the population at large to meaningfully engage with what they're doing. They believe that the American people need to at least pay attention to what's going on.
But I guess to what end? I mean, it just seems like it's intractable. And who wants to address an intractable problem? You know, you can't, you know, you might pay attention, but to what end? Again, who knows what the solution is?
There is one really important reason why the candidates should be talking about this, because even though U.S. combat forces are on a trajectory to come home by the end of 2014, beyond that, the United States will be on the hook for several billion dollars a year to help sustain the Afghan army, to pay for the operations of the Afghan government, to provide basic humanitarian assistance to the Afghan people. We've pledged to do that. The communist-backed government in Kabul did not fall the day after Soviet tanks left in 1989. It didn't fall a week later or a month later or even a year later. It fell in 1992. Why? The Soviet Union had collapsed, and Moscow was no longer able to fund the government in Kabul. So the stability of Afghanistan, as murky, messy, and chaotic as it might be into the future, may depend less on the number of combat forces we have on the ground than our ability and willingness to provide financial assistance to the Afghan government. And that's going to be a lot of money. It could be as much as $4 or $5 billion a year. That's more than we give Israel. If the Congress is to approve that money, if the American people are to support that, political leaders need to generate the necessary consensus for that. And you don't get that consensus by shying away from the issue. You get it from engaging with it and reminding the American people that this is still an important thing to do, as opposed to simply packing our bags, abandoning the country, and allowing potentially the Taliban to take it over, and then a further cycle of violence that in the past led to them playing host to Al-Qaeda and the 9/11 attacks.
Rajiv Chandrasekaran, senior correspondent for The Washington Post, author of Little America, The War Within the War for Afghanistan. By the way, we'll have an excerpt at hereandnow.org. Rajiv, thanks as always.
Great to talk to you.
Your thoughts, stay longer, get out sooner, hear more about it, have a healthier debate, let us know, hereandnow.org. Up next, resident chef Kathy Gunst. Who knew? Well, we sort of knew you could make your own ketchup, but why would you? In 30 seconds, here and now.